Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on Friday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. It's Friday, and you know what that means. I didn't tell our guests, but I always tell people you don't want to be on my Monday show or my Friday show. And why is that? Mondays, I've slept all weekend. I'm rested. Fridays, I've been doing this show. I've been talking. The world has gone mad, so I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say, but I know it's going to be fun. I know it's going to be interesting because we always have fun on the Roundtable Talk Show. That's what we do. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do every day, no matter what day it is, Monday through Friday. I make the same request for you to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show because we need your support. And not only do we need your support, but your friends, your network, they need your support. They need the information that we share every morning, weekdays at 8 a.m. Pacific. So if you haven't shared this information, what kind of friend are you? Share it with your network. Friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. Now, while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. We have a real life angel from heaven on the show. Yes, we do. We got an angel here just for you. Now, Angel from Heaven is also known as the CEO Confident. He's an influencer, international TV host, public speaker, CEO consultant, board member, and philanthropist. In the last 21 years, Angel has empowered more than 1,500 CEOs in 33 different countries. He was born near Barcelona, and he has lived in 8 countries and speaks 5 languages. So I guess we'll have to see how he's doing during this global pandemic. Angel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very, very well. Thank you. What an introduction. I have to say it's the first time ever I've been introduced like that. So this Friday will definitely go to history. Thank you so much.
I like making history. It's fun.
You're already making history. And thank you obviously to all the audience watching us.
Absolutely. I love your background. Now, you're a world traveler. You're all over this place. How has it been for you over the last year? Because I'm pretty sure your travel has been, you know, maybe slightly altered.
Well, totally altered. and not because of the restrictions. Well, it's mostly because, you know, you have to stay in places like for 1 week or 2 weeks to quarantine and these kind of things. But you know, thank God. You know, we have remote working tools that we can use. But last year, as answering to your question, last year has been a year of awakening. That's definitely so. If you had asked me the question you're going to ask me today, 12 months ago, I guarantee you I would have answered differently. Mm-hmm. So that's the best thing I can say right now.
So what have you been up to? You have all these accolades. You're doing the most. You're saving the world. You're helping the people. What does a typical day look like for you?
Thank you. A typical day, well, if I'm on vacation, it's different. But when I am working here in Dallas, Texas, basically, I mean, I take my kids to school. I have 3 kids. 2 of them still go to school. And after that, I just start my normal day. I have an intention experiment I've been doing for the last 3 years. For half an hour, I meditate with 8 other people from different places in North America. And after that, my day starts with, you know, basically.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I want to talk about that because that was unique. Most people, and I just ask random questions just because I'm curious, because you have so much going on. And people always tell me like Sharifa, you're busy. You never have time. So I'm like, what does a typical day look like for someone like you? But intention experiment. I don't want to gloss over that because I've heard about, you know, morning prayer calls and meditation, but intentions and experiments don't typically go together. Please clarify.
Thank you. So basically, a few years ago, I went to a conference of a gentleman. He's of a doctor called Dr. Joe Dispenza. At that event, I got to know, before going to that event, I had read a book about Lynn McTaggart, because Lynn McTaggart interviewed Dr. Joe Dispenza. Lynn McTaggart, she lives in the UK, and what she does is she conducts worldwide intention experiments. Mm-hmm. Actually, you can go Lynn McTaggart, you can Google her, and she has a great book about that. So basically, intention experiment means that every single morning, a group, we are nine, but a group of eight or more people can meet up. And basically they decide, okay, so today we are going to intend for something specific that we want to happen. And we do that for a week. So every single week we intend for something that has been proposed by one of the members. So every week, again, we've been already 3 years. Every week we've been intending for one different thing that has been asked for one of the different nine members of the team. And we're right now, actually, after so long, we are right now working on a book. We are writing a book called 10 Minute Miracles, because we've seen so many miracles happen. We've seen people healing. We've seen things changing in our lives. So it's been incredible. Obviously in 3 years, I mean, 52 times three, right? Means a lot of experiments, right? A lot of intention, weekly experiments. So that's what we do every single morning. We meet, we start talking, and then for 10 minutes, we put in nice music to intend, and all of us, following a specific technique, we intend to for something to happen.
So that's amazing. I'm trying to figure out how I can get in on this call, because I need some 10-minute miracles or some 5-minute miracles. I like quick, fast. But for yourself personally, there had to be a reason why you stayed for 3 years. Was there something personal that you can share where you're like, I set this intention, it happened, you know, you have to do this?
Well, there have been so many things happening. First of all, when 8 or 9 people get together every single morning, we establish a bonding that it's, a bond that it's very difficult to break. We feel things. We literally, physically feel things. And after those 10 minutes, we actually share what we have experienced, what we have seen. And we've seen incredible things. I mean, from a physical point of view, I mean, I'm sure that both Christian and Yo-Yo, they have experienced similar things, because they're both extremely, deep people, right? Deep human beings. But when you establish that, when you create that bonding and that environment, really magical things start happening, and you see, you live physically things. So I can tell you, foreclosures that were out of the blue, like canceled the last minute, that has happened twice. I can share with you people healing from back pain, like lifelong back pain. I can tell you about people being operated, having surgeries, that they recover much faster because we were intending for them. I can tell you people feeling the intention. So people even not knowing that we were intending for them, and they were going through some sort of issues in their lives, they got those things sorted out. So that's why we're writing a book. There's so many things that have happened that there's one chapter for each of us right now in the book. Again, it's going to be called the 10 Minute Miracles.
I love it. I love it. No, I'm so intrigued. I think I can talk to you for all day and pick your brain, so much in there. But Angel, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest so we can start this conversation, because it's getting good. Miss Yamitra Wadeo. Yamitra is the only live past crazy specialist. She works strategically with individuals to identify, analyze, and release chaos and crazy in their lives by providing a safe space to begin their journey and guide them to the source of their own power. Yamitra is an Amazon International best-selling author of Fearless Women, Born to Give Thanks, and Transition to Freedom, and 7 other amazing books. She has received Author of the Year of the Award for 2 consecutive years and has had the opportunity to share the screen with the late actor Tommy Ford in the movie The Last Time. She is the founder of Be Fearless, Inc., Waddell Consulting Services, and Bear Your Hair. Good morning, Yamitra. How are you?
Good morning. Y'all made me sound good. I like these introduction things.
Everyone's good. Said that. I don't know why. And I'm like, hey, I just read what you send me. I got to be careful, though, because
so much better when you say it.
Somebody's going to send me some bio and I'm just going to read it. It's like, I'm the king of America. I'm like, I don't know. Would you send it to me? I'll read it. Tommy Ford. Oh my God. That was a loss. We all grew up, I think, for the most part, watching Tommy. Yes. Tommy. Yes. What a great loss. Good morning. How you doing today?
I am doing peachy today. It's a great day. So I'm happy to be here. I'm excited. And I would just like to tell Angel, I am a Joe Dispenza fan.
Yes.
I have the majority of his books, and I think he is he's just an awesome human being. I love him.
Yes.
He's good.
Yamitra, talk to us about Be Fearless. Where did Be Fearless come from? It most likely came from some sort of fear stepped over.
Yes, it is. It is a story for sure. So I go by the tagline, the only live past crazy specialist, because I know crazy. And your crazy doesn't have to be like my crazy. Your crazy could be the normal crazy, life, kids, you know, your career, all the crazy. My crazy and Be Fearless came from being a survivor of domestic violence. And my abuser just happened to be the pastor of the church. And so to be the first lady and be the woman in front that everybody's looking to, and then being abused, it was hard. And from going from that to living in a shelter to, you know, now finishing my PhD and owning a couple of businesses, and Be Fearless, I would have to say, is understanding that regardless that this fear is here, my vision and my mission is not changing. Fear is going to have to go with me on this journey. Like, you don't have a choice. And so being fearless is understanding, acknowledging, yes, I'm afraid, but that has nothing to do with the fact that this is where I'm moving to and this is what I'm getting ready to go and do.
What gave you the strength to get out of the situation? Because like you mentioned, you know, for most people, the church is the rock of not only the community, but the family, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like getting divorced twice to me. I look at it like that, because you're divorcing this community and then also divorcing or getting rid of this person. Okay. So what was that like for you?
It was extremely hard because he had been a minister for 30 years. Who was going to believe? And then you have to look at the dynamics. I was 25. He was 51. We just had a kid. My family was 400 miles away. And who were they going to believe? A pastor who had been pastoring for over 30 years, or this young girl who seemingly married a man of status? And are they going to believe you? Are they going to believe him? And so I essentially found myself fighting the church, the FBI, because he reported me, said I kidnapped the children and moved states away. And it was a whole host of things. So on the day that I left was the day that I decided that I wanted to live. And I think it's a very fine line. And what I applied to that in life is sometimes we all have obstacles. And I break it down really simple. But did you die though? Like, you have to make a decision, but are you going to die when you make that decision? If the answer is no, then you have every right and every tool that you need to make that decision. And that's what I did. Like, I knew it was going to be hard. Who wants to live in a shelter and pick up pennies off the street with two kids? I certainly did not, but I knew that the way I think, and this is where Joe comes in, that's why I love him so, that my current reality is just not, I don't agree with it, so I don't have to admit to it and I don't have to be subject to it. So if I can think a different thought, then that's what I'm going to do. And it has been a 16-year journey of living past crazy. And I'm a firm believer every day to give my words and my breath direction. So before I get up every morning, I give my words and breath direction to accomplish something every morning, even if it's to find abundance, to find the answer that I'm seeking. Whatever it may be, that's what I set out to do, because I believe your words are absolutely powerful, period.
Wow, your story, your life is powerful. That's why I love doing this show. I really do. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's a personal passion of mine. Yeah. That's why I get up every morning and do it, because it takes away excuses for people. You know, when people come to me and they say, well, Sharifa, I can't because, or I'm too this, or I'm too that, or this person is stopping me. I'm like, you're going to watch January 8th episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. You're going to listen to those guests. And then, you know, because if they can do it, there's no reason why you can't as well. And so much of what you're saying resonates with me and my life and my crazy, I guess. But when I was in my worst times and I lost everything and was homeless, I would walk and I would literally speak to God and I would say, God, I know you didn't bring me this far to just bring me this far. Yeah. So you went through all of that, owner of multiple companies. Was there a point where you said, you know what, there's something better, something greater, there's something else out there for me?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm a fan of quotes and affirmations, and I'm a nerd. And one of the things that I could not do when I was married was go to the library. And the first day that I left, I went to the library and I was like the little kid. I faced the wall and I love to smell books. I know that's strange, but I love the way books smell. And I smelled books and I had a stack of books in my lap. And the first book I opened, I couldn't tell you the name of it, but the quote that I opened up to was by John Wooden, and I'm also a basketball fan. And it says, don't let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do. Because I was like, JoJo, what is it that you can do? Because I couldn't find an attorney that would help me. Nobody wanted to help me because everything was so crazy. And that quote came into play because it says, if you focus on what you can do, what you cannot do will take care of itself. And I was like, well, JoJo, you already had 2 undergraduate degrees, so that must mean you're not stupid. And so I learned the laws of North Carolina for representing myself, and I went to court and represented myself, won the case, and now I live by that quote. Don't let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do, because what you can do is a lot more than what you cannot do. That is just what you choose to focus on. So I live by that quote, and then 2 more. Never close your mind to an idea simply because it's miraculous, because the idea came to you for a reason. And you are absolutely qualified to be exceptional. You're just nervous in front of your current community. We're just nervous because I want to be the first millionaire in my family. And who in my family is saying that? But it doesn't negate the fact that I'm absolutely qualified to do that. And so when we focus on those things and eliminate the negative, it becomes an amazing journey.
Yes, yes. We're just going to change that M to a B, though. We're going to change that. Everything else I'm going to stand in agreement with, but we just going to make that change. Wow, what an amazing show. If you have not shared this show yet, go ahead and share it with your friends, because I always tell people don't believe me. It's the truth. Guests can attest. I do not select the dates that the guests appear. The guests decide what days they want to appear, and somehow, some way, there's always a common theme. I don't know how it happens, just like Angel from Heaven probably doesn't know exactly how the 10-minute miracles happen, but we've seen them happen over and over and over again, which brings me to my next guest, and I know he's going to have a very important take on this conversation, Mr. Christian De La Huerta. With 30 years of experience, Christian is a sought-after spiritual teacher, personal transformation coach, and leading voice in the breathwork community. He has traveled the world offering inspiring and transformational retreats, combining psychological and spiritual teachings with lasting and life-changing effects. Good morning, Christian.
Morning, Sharifa. And thank you for having me. Well, I'm honored to be here.
You are so welcome. What do you think so far, Angel, Yamitra? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I'm touched and inspired, like putting myself in the place of your audience of entrepreneurs. It's like, what powerful messages for entrepreneurs, you know, messages of vision, of overcoming challenges, of persistence, of resilience. And I know, you know, from like your own story of having been laid off 8 times, and yet not allowing any of that to hold you back. And here you are, you know, going from state senate in California. It's like, wow, that's powerful and inspiring. And I love Angel's vision of, you know, which he hasn't really talked about, but working with kids and his vision for empowering kids. And Yamitra's, I mean, his story is so touching. And you know, the powerful message that if she can overcome that, is like, we can overcome anything. And also her message of empowerment for all of us.
Yes. What is awakening the soul of power? Because I'm pretty sure it's going to resonate today.
Yeah, well, it's a book I just released. And it's the first of a series of 3. And the title of the series is called Calling All Heroes. So what does it mean to live a heroic life in the 21st century, where probably we don't have the horse hitched outside and the armors and the demons to slay, except the ones in here? So the first book is about personal empowerment. Like, how do we step into personal power in a way that's not about hierarchy, control, fear, force, domination, that doesn't require for us to push anybody down, you know, place our knees on their neck in order for us to prop ourselves up and feel powerful. So how do we do it in a different way? And the thing about it is that most of us have an ambivalent relationship to power. And we want it and we long for it, but we're afraid of it. And as I've been working now for 30 years doing retreats and working with people's mindsets and talking, helping people get free from fear and limitation, what I've come to realize is that what we're afraid of is that we might abuse it. And no wonder, right? Like all we gotta do is turn on the news or read the morning headlines, and every day witnessing countless examples of abuse of power. And no need to even get into examples today because it's right in front of our face. And so, but the what's, you know, and then we've been so conditioned, you know, but with quotes like power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And then what good-hearted person is gonna wanna be corrupted? But what they forgot to tell us or failed to tell us is that that quote from Lord Acton was it's part of a larger context where if you read the whole thing, the whole paragraph, it's clear that he's talking about political power, not about interpersonal or personal power. That's what we're all talking about here, right? Personal empowerment, in approaching it from different ways. And then the other aspect of that is we've been so conditioned as a society to be afraid of the emotions, right? We've labeled the emotions weakness, and especially men. You know, since we're little kids, we're like, little boys don't cry, because in some twisted way along the, you know, point along the way, we label the emotions weakness and feminize them, as is the feminine was weak. Like, if you want to talk about power, let's talk about the power of creation, right? And so that there's nothing feminine about the weak, but we've been conditioned that way. And so then we're afraid of conflict. We're afraid of confrontation. We're terrified that if we really bead all of who we are, that other people may not be able to handle us. So then we stuff ourselves. We stuff our emotions. And that doesn't work. Right? What used to be spiritual teaching that everything is energy, now we know from physics that everything is energy. Like, that's the case. It's no longer spiritual teaching. So including the body, including the emotions, we know from physics too that energy cannot be destroyed. So just because we stuff it, it doesn't go away. Like, all those emotions don't go away. They get stuck in the tissues of the body and we walk around with them. And after decades and decades of suppressing ourselves and suppressing our emotions, you know, we walk around like these cauldrons of suppressed emotion, which we then start either react, like somebody just rubs us the wrong way and we react because we're reacting to a lifetime of suppressed emotions, and we bring damage to our relationships, or that energy has to come out somewhere. So it starts showing up in bodily symptoms, you know, cancer, ulcers, heart attacks. So we've got to learn how to feel and how to identify our emotions and learn how to communicate them responsibly, courageously, compassionately even.
I think that is powerful. We all on the same page today. I think that's so wonderful. Everything you're saying resonates with me. And it also reminds me of, you know, like you mentioned, I am running for Senate 2024. I'm excited about that. In 2018, I went through this journey. Right. For some reason, I started meeting all of these psychics and channels and mystical woo-woo people, and everybody, I would have all these different sessions, and one person after another said the same thing. They would say, Sharifa, you're not standing in your power. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I don't know what that means, but thank you. And then I go to the next person and they say, Sharifa, you're not standing in your power. And I say, okay, thank you. I don't know what that means, but okay, 2021, I know exactly what that means. Yeah. And it wasn't a fear of mine that I wasn't able to, or I was afraid of, you know, but I think I had more of that. Why would I run for city council? Why would I run for Senate? There are, you know, trillions and billions of people on the earth. Why me? And then I had to get to that point of, why not me? You know, this is something you're passionate about. Why not you? So I don't think it was the fear for me, but it was just understanding that I do have a voice. And what I've done, you know, just having all the guests for the last year on the Roundtable Talk Show, that took a lot of power to provide a platform for some of the greatest people in the world. But I didn't understand that it was power in doing that. Does that make sense, Christian?
It makes total sense. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for saying yes to your own call to step into your power and to do heroic work, right? What all of us are doing is heroic. The way that JoJo got herself free with two little kids to support, that's nothing short of heroic. And so, you know, I love this conversation. And another way, you know, that we see commonality in all of us is this desire to make a difference in the world. Mm-hmm. Right? So, and it's that desire to make a difference in the world, that conviction that allows us to use JoJo's, you know, framework to not allow fear to hold us back. Right? So that desire to make a difference, our sense of service, our sense of conviction is greater than that fear that no longer holds us back. And that's, you know, I love that word fearlessness, because we're confused about what that means. And like JoJo, you know, embodies and teaches, it doesn't mean that we no longer feel fear. It just means that we no longer allow fear to hold us back.
Yes. You made an interesting point though, Christian. I want to ask JoJo, because in everything I've done, being laid off 8 times, losing everything, you know, even this entrepreneurial journey that I've been on since 1994, people always ask, why did you do it? And I'm like, because my kids said, Mom, we're hungry. You know, there wasn't this deep rooted, I want to save the world. My kids were like, Mom, dinner needs to be served somehow, some way. So JoJo, when Christian looks at you and he's like, you know what, just getting these 2 kids out of this situation, that's powerful. And I agree wholeheartedly, there's power in that. But at that moment, were you thinking about the power, or you're just like, I got to get out of here?
Oh my God, I was thinking, and I'll just give y'all a quick backdrop. The day I left, my abuser had taken advantage of me in front of our 3-month-old, who was a preemie who had just got out of the hospital. And so she was 60 days old, and she only weighed 4 pounds. And so he had taken advantage of me in front of her. And I tried to kill myself that morning. And then the next morning, well, that night, he tried to have me committed to a mental hospital. And I was like, this can't be my life. Like, is this going to be my life statement? And then that morning, July 26th at 7:30 in the morning, I stood at that front door and I cried for 35 minutes. Cause I knew when I opened up that door, it was going to say door open. And he might've been a heavy man, but he was a quick man. I was like, either I'm going to die trying to leave here, I'm not going to willingly let you kill me. And that's exactly what happened. Mind you, my family was 400 miles away. I didn't know a soul. I had no money. I drove a car. The front wheel fell off if you went over 45. There was no tag, no registration, and no insurance on the car. So when I left, it was the last thing that it was my last ditch effort to say, if you're going to live, today is the day. Well, you better put all the living you got in this moment right now. Come hell or high water, that's all you got. And that is what allowed me to walk out that door. Now, has it been easy? No. The lights off, power off, gas off. I'm eating once a day, asking my coworkers, you want to finish your lunch so I can eat? So whatever's at the house, the kids can eat. But it's in that moment that you have to decide, do you want to live or die? And I think that sometimes this was my crutch. But it's so hard. It's hard to make a decision. I don't know. It's not hard. Making the decision is the easy part. What's hard is dealing with the ramifications that come with the decision. And so for me, 2 things. Is this going to be my life statement? Are these going to be the last words that everybody's going to know JoJo for? And are you going to put all your living into this moment? And if that's what you're going to do, then sister, you better get moving.
Absolutely. Angel.
If I may add something, after hearing both Christian and JoJo, probably they don't know, nor Christian nor JoJo, and they don't know, but Tony Robbins has been quoting you for the last probably 10, 15 years when he says that we are so fearful of our own power.
Yes.
And that's probably why we don't step into it so easily. Yeah. Because we are fearful of ourselves. And what we can do with that power, right? So I was having chills as I was listening to both of your stories. It's definitely magic what you have what you are building here today, Sharifa.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
I will say, and Angel, you saying that reminded me. I have a journal. I host the Fearless Morning Show weekdays on Facebook at 7:15, and so we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. In my journal entry from April of last year, I wrote a note to myself, and it was like, JoJo, why are you so comfortable in the darkness? And my answer to myself was because I was so afraid of my light. I was afraid of the brightness of my light. And I think we all can agree that at some point we found a journey that spoke to who we truly are. And it began in our mindset because our mind is our superpower. And it was there that everything that we decided to embrace the light instead of the dark.
Yes. Angel, have you had a moment when you felt like you were not standing in your full power or you were afraid of your power?
Well, so many times. If I had to choose one, probably it would be when I left corporate America. Mm-hmm. That was 5 years ago. And, you know, although I had been, I mean, it's funny because when you read my bio, it sounds so wow, right? That you know, eyebrow raising effect. But can you believe it or not? I mean, I was really like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I don't know what I have really done in my life. I mean, I don't know if what I have learned or what I have done to others or for others is going to serve me, really. So, you know, when you said, you know, the famous imposter syndrome?
Yes.
That, you know, you just, you know, you go from a very structured, massive, you know, I had worked since the 90s for large multi-billion euro corporations, and suddenly you are by yourself, right? And I was and you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I was extremely fearful, and it took to me many months, I have to say, many months to actually just sit down, take a piece of paper, so easy, take a piece of paper, a pen, and start writing my accomplishments or what I had done throughout my entire career. Then when I started to, you know, write down some numbers and making some calculations, it was then when I realized, well, maybe that's something, and maybe I can add value to someone's life and someone's business with what I have done. But oh my God, I mean, I was so blind, you know, so blind. I really didn't want to see. It's not that my, you know, my prescription glasses weren't right. It was just like, I didn't want to see the obvious. I mean, you know, very often they ask me, what would you change, right? I mean, this famous question, what would you change if you were given another opportunity? Oh my God, it would change so many things. But the number one thing would be, I would step up. I would start exposing myself like crazy since day one. I would start sharing my story. Because, you know, we probably all of us, we have shows or we have interviewed people, mm-hmm. for sure. And we all know that the real power of our conversations is that we know for sure that someone right now is listening to us and we are going to change their lives. Yes. For sure. That's yes. happening right now. I mean, not for me, for you, but this is happening. That's why we do what we do, you know, with our questions. We are trying just to open up ourselves so that others, you know, are able to listen to those messages. So had I started to share my humble messages from the very beginning, I would have started impacting others' lives immediately. Immediately. We just have to open our lives, open our mouths. And let me tell you a little bit of an anecdote. So it took to me almost a year to open myself and to do my first ever Facebook Live, and it was by myself, and I thought I have to make like an announcement to the world, right? Okay. So I went there, I explained, probably I didn't have all those numbers yet, but I went there, explained why I was doing what I was doing, and then I remember as if it was now, when I clicked like stop broadcasting on Facebook, I started crying like a baby. Uh-oh. The pressure I put myself, like just to go raw into the world, saying who I was and what I was doing and what I was standing up for. Oh my God. But you know, I will never forget that moment. But I said to myself, oh my God, I wish I had done this more. you know, and so.
That's powerful. That is so powerful. And the fact that you even share that moment, I'm pretty sure that many people who tune in to watch you had no idea. I mean, when we do our shows, like you mentioned, all of us in some form of fashion have a show or have an audience, everybody thinks it's so easy, you know, but it's not easy to be vulnerable. It takes a lot to be vulnerable and to talk and to share your message.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably, you know, right now, I mean, I don't care that much because, you know, whatever happens, happens. And that's one point that I wanted to make, maybe changing gears a little bit, which I think is killing us as a civilization, mm-hmm. which is that thing of fitting in.
Yes.
We are raised to fit in. We have to follow certain patterns. And, you know, regardless, you know, I try not to talk about religion and politics and everything, but regardless of where you are today, regardless of what our avenues are, regardless of where we for and anybody in our audience right now stand, you know, we really want to help each other. We genuinely are good and want to do good. But, you know, we are taught, unfortunately, I mean, I still have two kids in school age, right? They are taught to be fitting in. How much of their power, Christian, you know, how much of their power we are limiting, we are, you know, undercutting, we are, you know, taking out of the lives of these kids forever, like forever. We really don't have to fit in. It's funny how just before Christmas, on a podcast interview, someone asked me of a piece of advice. I said, I'm not very religious. I stopped going to church a long time ago, but I come from a very Catholic country, which is Spain. You know, but guess what? I think these Christmas are so special because Jesus Christ, remember Christmas, Jesus Christ, you know, because people maybe don't even remember that. He didn't want to fit in. He didn't want to fit in. He wanted, you know, he wanted to understand things. He understood what everybody around him was doing. And he was a disruptor. Why are we not taught to be disruptors? Why not? Why are we not taught to be disrupting all the time, to be working from that place of power? And I guarantee you, that doesn't mean, you know, that we're going to be stepping onto someone else's toes. No, you know, then that's the big misunderstanding. We are raised to be competitive and to, you know, to be fighting against the others. It's not true.
Yes, yes, Christian, true. That was a question for you. Why, Christian? Why are we made to fit in?
You know, it's that because humans are, you know, social animals. Mm-hmm. And because we haven't been taught, like our parents weren't taught, their parents before them weren't taught how to help boost a kid's, you know, self-esteem and sense of who we are. So we grow up without having a real core sense of identity. And I love what Angel spoke, except that the only word that I would, you know, challenge is forever. Because yes, in a lot of cases, people give up their power forever. But I don't wanna highlight that. I don't wanna leave that in the space, because that is what the times are calling all of us to do, which is to reclaim our own power and find ways of expressing it that are a match for who we are. And it's going to be different in every time. And that's one of the ways in which I guide people by the hand in this book is helping them understand why we have a conflict with power. And part of it is that we've confused that there's different types of power. So one of them is, you know, I talk about worldly power or egoic power, which comes from the, you know, the ego mind, which we don't have time to get into today. But one of, you know, some of the qualities of that are, you know, we associate power with things that are outside of us, external. Like we tend to associate people, you know, who have money, who are famous, who are some part of, you know, they're either some part of a hierarchy, they're CEOs, or they have some political or religious hierarchy or social or educational hierarchy. But the thing about those kinds of power is that because they're external, they're fickle, right? They're here today, gone tomorrow. Whereas the other kind of power, you know, which I call soulful power, spiritual power, is inside of each one of us. Nobody can give it to us. Nobody can take it away. And it's actually more powerful, right? So I think of you know, Gandhi or Gandalf, you know, in The Lord of the Rings, where they're simple, monastic robes and their sandal feet, you would never know how much power they hold until it's needed. And then watch out. Like, you know, Gandhi, and I know that you quote Gandhi, Sharifa, and, you know, be the change. And, you know, but he brought the British Empire to its knees when it was at its highest point, you know, globally, in terms of global reach, without ever landing a punch or shooting a gun. And talk about power.
Yes, I think so often you make an excellent point. When we think about power, we think about power as far as putting people down, and like you said, keeping people down, or just simply brute force. Like, we associate power with, I have to just go in and take over, and that kind of power. But I've learned that power can be gentle. You know what I mean? You can speak softly and still wield the same power without having to be aggressive or argumentative or controversial. You know, some things may wind up being controversial, but you don't have to just go at it at such a, and the world is changing. One of the things that people keep talking about is that we're moving more towards the maternal. We're moving more towards the feminine energy of just, what are your thoughts on that, Christian?
Well, it's a great question for me. It's one of the things that I'm passionate about, because my book is for everybody, of course, but it has a particular message for women, because I'm convinced that the single most important thing that needs to happen in the world is the empowerment of women, and not to make women better than or put them up on a pedestal. Women are just as capable of abusing power as men are. But it's because we have been so, as a world, as a species, we've been so out of balance for way too long. And for thousands of years, we're the feminine, you know, was made less than. And to that, we can connect all the other issues that we face. When women are in 50% of power, and when we all, regardless of what kind of body we're in, when we all reclaim the feminine, because we all have masculine and feminine energies in each of us, so when we all reclaim that, and when women are at least 50% of power in this world, we're gonna have a very different relationship to all of it, to war, to poverty, to hunger, to how we treat the environment, all of it. It's all connected to that. And so when I think about strategically, like if there was one thing that I could focus on in my limited time, you know, here on this planet, that's what I've landed on. Because by empowering women, we impact everything else.
Yes. Angel, what are your thoughts on what Christian had to say?
Yes, it's funny because when I was still in Barcelona, and I had been working for an audiovisual company in Spain, and there was a headhunter, a lady headhunter that came and offered me that position before. And when I left Spain and I went to live in the UK, I had this meal with this lady and asked her, hey, why did you come? How did you find me? And you came to my first job and you came and you took me to the second job, completely different industries, everything. Why? I mean, why? Because I went from working, you know, in a university to working in the private sector. And she said, because Angel, you have something. And don't get me wrong, I mean, that's the 90s, okay? So because you have something which not many people have, which is your feminine side. Your feminine side is very pronounced. And I said, what do you mean? And why did it make me a good candidate for that position? And he said, because you see life differently. Because you are able to put forward things that other people would hide. And throughout my life, it's been funny because I've always worked with more women than men. Every time I have had to actually build my own team, consistently, I've been looking for female power to compensate what was already in place. And I have always felt extremely comfortable working with women. And in corporate America, I have to tell you, in high tech, that was my industry. I mean, if there were maybe, 10%, 15%, and probably only on maybe marketing, well, you know, legal, all those specific departments, right? Or functions. But in my case, it was always very clear. I mean, women confront life in a completely different way. And it's completely complementary to what we do. You know, there's no good or bad. I agree with you. It's obvious. It's very clear, Christian, that yeah. And you said it very clear also, Sharifa, that I think that we're moving towards a world where feminine energies are going to play a much more important role. And it's true and it's necessary. And when I go to Latin America to help the underprivileged kids, and I find those kids and I'm teaching them, I focus completely on self-esteem, because those kids will never receive that message anytime soon. You know, we're going to say forever, Christian, but anytime soon, they're not going to listen to anybody. They're going to hear that message of empowerment. But I focused on girls, because girls are the ones that are more limited in their future. The views of their parents or their tutors, their views about what the life of that girl is going to be, is super limited, super limited. I remember going to an area north of the state of Puebla in Mexico, where there are 186 different indigenous communities. Okay, so many different languages. All the girls work in the fields with the parents, and they help moms cooking at home and cleaning. That's what they do, right? In this entire area, every year from high school, because there's a high school in this entire area, there are 400 kids that graduate every year, okay? So only two or three of these 400 eventually go to college, and only one is a girl. Isn't it crazy?
Crazy. I would love to hear JoJo's thoughts on that. I think that's definitely crazy.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. But I think Angel and Christian both hit on something that as women begin to, first we have to understand the power of our energy. I just held a women's conference called Sister Rise, Revitalizing Individual Sacred Energy. And as women, as we begin to understand what our sacred energy is and how it's going to change the world and how we begin to impact the world, I think that's going to, it's going to make a big difference. And I think as women, as we begin to see ourselves differently, and we have to think about how big of an impact, and guys, you can think about this too, how big of an impact your mother had on your life. We do a lot of things because the women in our household did them. We make the macaroni like mama, we clean, we fold our towels. And every day we are creating a legacy for our children to follow in our footsteps. As women, you know, we look to daddies, because I was a daddy's girl too, but I looked to my daddy for business sense, but I looked to my mother to set up my traditions on how I was going to raise my children.
And that's an excellent point, because I laugh with my son all the time. My son will be 24 in April, you know, and whenever he does something and it's not correct, I'd be like, got to do it right. Because people will say, your mama didn't raise you right. You know what I mean? Or they'll say, who raised you? I'm like, so this is not about you. This is about me, right?
It's about me, because your name is all you have. And that, you know, in this book called The Awakened Woman, it says, if we forget if we forget who we are as women, then all who lean on us and look to us for guidance will be lost. So generations from now, great, great grandma JoJo, I could have lost everybody because I did not step into my power as a woman, and then understand that I have masculine, I have female, and I can manage them and hold them equally. But this is my wheel. I love this kind of stuff. So I'm over here dancing with my feet because I'm having a good time.
You know, it comes to the, you know, it's attributed to Betty White, which she's, you know, incredible, unique sense of humor. She said, you know, we're talking about courage, and she goes, and I'm not going to do it justice, but she goes, you're talking about having balls. It's like, those things are weak. You just thump them and they bend over and they collapse in pain. You want to talk about courage? Let's talk about vaginas. Those things take a pounding.
Yes. It's all in how you look at it. It's all in the perception. I love Betty White. I love laughter. I mean, that's the beautiful thing. Anytime I do stand-up comedy shows, it's always my brand, Laughter Heals. We need more laughter in the world. We need more people to remember who they are and stand in their own power. And it may not necessarily be easy, but I definitely think that it's necessary. JoJo, I want to go back to something that you said earlier in the show, when you were making, when you after you left the shelters, at what point, because I think this is very important for the audience, at what point did you really decide to stand in your power as far as being a business owner and be an example and start your conferences? What made you say, if not me, then who?
Because I knew it was something I needed. No one was, and my pet peeve is giving somebody so much information that they're overwhelmed. I'm the person, I need JoJo, do step one and then do step two. And nobody was giving me that. And I was like, okay, let me start documenting what I'm doing. Like, how am I getting over this? How am I changing my mindset? And what are the things that I'm doing? And so for me, it was, this is what I need. So surely somebody else needed it. And what really made it hit home, because you know how you play entrepreneurship and you think you're going to do it. And I've been in healthcare for 20 years. I didn't want to give up the title that I worked at Duke Hospital or Duke Medical. I didn't want to give up that title, you know, that I've worked at all those places. And then I spoke the first time ever and talked to a group of ladies who were coming from welfare to work. And the lady called me like 3 days later. And she said, had you not shared your story, I would have killed myself. And I have a quote that I wrote right then. And it says, somebody is waiting to hear my voice and they will not move until I move. So every day when I get angry and frustrated, like I can't figure this out, like I don't know what I'm doing, JoJo, somebody's waiting to hear your voice and they're not going to move until you move. And so that was one of the biggest things that helped direct me to say, okay, you're going to, honey, it came to you for a reason. You survived and you lived for a reason. And now you must do something with it.
I think that is so, so powerful, amazing. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and I must admit, I have greatly enjoyed this show. At the end of every show, I just allow my guests to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Christian.
Good. Thank you so much. And I want to, you know, add one more thing for the men in the audience, because the current system, you know, of toxic masculinity that we've been living in for the last, who knows how long, you know, thousands of years, is not good for men either. Right? Of course, it's oppressive women in ways and in ways that are completely unacceptable and enough. But it's also been incredibly limiting for men. Like, no wonder men, you know, have a shorter lifetime. They die 3 years before. No wonder the rate of suicide among men is like 3 times. I forget the exact number right now, but it's way higher. I think 70% of the suicides in America are committed by white men. So it's not working, right? The system is not working for men either. And it's time that we all figure out a way to reconnect with who we are, to reclaim our own sense of self, our own sense of power. As far as I'm concerned, we're living in the most critical times in the evolution of humanity. Make it or break it time, yeah. Right? And so whenever one of us feels that call, like all four of us here have to be more, to say yes in spite of the fear, and to step into roles that we don't even know how it's gonna work out, that the universe has a vested interest in each of us doing that. Because as we do that, and when we do that, the ripple effects will be felt. And like everybody here was talking about, like Angel was talking about, making a difference. That's how we all get out of this collective hole that we have dug ourselves into.
Yeah.
That was powerful. And that was actually a very interesting statistic. I had no idea that 70% of suicides are white males. I did know, I found this interesting fact out, is that more women than men attempt suicide, but more men than women commit suicide. It's because men do suicide in deadlier ways. Women tend to take a bottle of pills and wake up in the hospital, but they live to see another day. Whereas men, they're done, they're final, they get the shotgun, and it's over. So very interesting. We have to heal the world. So no one is in that position where they even contemplate or even think about suicide. And we're all here to help them. Thank you for that, Christian. Angel, what do you have for us?
Thank you. One of my favorite sayings is taking perfect action now. And I do that because most of what I do is I help both, corporate executives and entrepreneurs to accelerate the growth of their businesses through expansion and exposure using different techniques. And every single time, I'm very involved here in the Dallas area with the different business accelerators, business incubators, et cetera. And every single time I'm helping someone reinvent themselves, pivot in their businesses, I always have this same conversation. You all have an immense power inside to create wealth for the rest of the world. All of you. Tony Robbins says something that which is extremely smart, which is, your wealth is totally dependent and proportionate to the amount of people that you are able to serve. And I have to tell you that every single one of you have something inside your professional career, your life, that nobody else in the world has. Nobody. We all have lived completely different lives. Even if you think you are not adequate or you're not enough, you are already enough and you are already adequate. And you can already start to offer your products, your services to the rest of the world. So I would encourage you to take imperfect action now, to start changing your life immediately, stepping into your power, as Christian and Jojo were saying very, very wisely, but do it today, do it immediately. As you realized, I think that many of us were confronted with death in the last 12 months, right? Like it or not, we had to think about death, at some point. So, hey, we can do so much good in this world and the world needs us. And if it's not us, it's not going to be anybody else. Exactly. It's great when I was listening to that from Jojo. It's like when I created my nonprofit Wisdom for Kids, I said, if I don't do that, who's going to do it? To be honest, nobody's going to do it. Nobody can do this the same way that we are doing it. Nobody.
So I love your passion, Angel. Oh, you are passionate. I love it. I love passionate people.
Totally.
You are so passionate.
Totally. So that's my 5 cents, Sharifa.
Oh, thank you for 5 cents. Usually we only get 2 cents. So I like that extra 3 cents. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Angel from heaven. Jojo, what do you have for us?
Angel, I want to give you a word that I made up, but I think it will fit just right with you. It's urgentaneously. Like, we have to take action urgentaneously. My kids hate when I say that. I need it done urgentaneously. They're like, that's not a word. Doesn't matter. It is.
My daughter makes up words all the time. And I'm like, if Will Smith can make up Jiggy, you can make up whatever you want. I like urgentaneously. I'll just credit JoJo for that one.
Yes. I would like to share my few cents is that as we all begin this journey, however we define it, describe it, some steps to live past crazy. And I call it self-care is gangster, because you have got to really want this for yourself to begin this journey. So there's just 5 things that you can start today. Number one is absolutely be quiet. You don't know what you like or what you want because you talk too much. So if you be quiet, you can hear what the God inside of you, the universe, the creator, is trying to tell you. And there's a wealth of information. You have the answer. The problem can't exist without the answer already being there. They go hand in hand. Often we talk too much that we don't even want to acknowledge the answer. Number two, be willing to understand. That means you've got to, at some point, acknowledge and work through all of your stumbling blocks. Ain't no way around that. Like, you've got to be willing to do that. Number three is allow space for yourself. Allow space for healing and grace. I learned that on this journey as I was growing, I had to make room inside of myself for JoJo to be great and not be small. And Grant Cardone says, you do more damage by living small than you do by living great. And so you got to make space inside. And then when you do that, give yourself some grace and peace. Forgive yourself. Yeah, you made a stupid decision, but you made the best one that you could at that moment with what you had. Give yourself some grace and peace, sister, and move on. And then respect the power that's in you. And you do that with wisdom and peace. Respect that you are a superpower. And every day you have the option to pick your superpower up or lay it down. And I will tell you that, and people say, JoJo, I'm not like you. Like, I'm not powerful, honey. JoJo ain't either, but please let me tell you something. You are so powerful that you convince the God in you that you're not good enough to do anything. That's how powerful you are. You override the innate universe inside of you that says you're a creator to say that you're not. So you can't tell me you're not powerful. You do it all day, every day. It's just what you choose to do with it. So respect the power that's in you. And number five is release the need to be less than, those old habits and thoughts. At least I'm not as bad as. At least I didn't do that. Release those words, because they hold you exactly where you want to be. And it's not until we're willing to take responsibility for where we want to go that we're able to leave where we are right now. So as you begin this journey, I welcome you on your journey, because you couldn't have came any other day other than today, because you couldn't have understood it. You couldn't have received it. It would have never made sense. You would have said, JoJo's crazy for real. And I will take that title, because I'm the only Live Past Crazy specialist. I'll handle that title. So as you begin your journey, I welcome you. It's going to be amazing, and have fun with the ride.
Absolutely. I have truly enjoyed today's show. It has been an amazing show, amazing week. I want to thank my guests for joining me here today on the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. You are very important. We still need your support. We still need you to watch the show, share the show, but please don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. Support our guests. Visit their websites. Pick up a copy of their book. They came here this morning to share their message just for you. So support them. Their information, their websites are in the Facebook post. And if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.